You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the Weekend Podcast. It's a podcast on the weekend for weekend people. And two of those people are Pete and Steve. You all right, lads?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Steve, hello. I have no idea what you're talking about on our WhatsApp group. You just come in saying, is it a dabble? Is it a dabble, a quick one?
Do you know what? I realised that.
What are you talking about?
Mixed up with...
punt?
Punt.
There we
go. Right.
Right. Cause, I wonder where that was going.
Dabble works. So, like, when you have a little dabble at that? That's a word. That's so, yeah, punt, isn't it?
Well, Steve showed me he did a screenshot of his portfolio in the week, right? He said, have a look at those. What do you think of those then? What do you think of those? And he's got stocks in there that we sold, like, honestly, you know, Steve got Andlass there from the first time round. I think you were as well, Pete. But he got a Motive Bio that we bought months ago. And you're thinking, Steve, have you ever sold any stock?
But then Motive Bio, they're still waiting for the license, aren't they? So that surely when that gets announced, then
what license? Driving license?
Yes.
Dog license? TV license?
Sorry, the
TV license. The approval. What?
Is it third stage?
Yeah. What is it waiting for?
A drug license.
Approval. A drug license. There, yeah, that's your license. That's now a drug. Hey.
That's it. Yeah.
No, I'm right though. Or maybe not in the exact terminology, but.
But I looked down your thing. You did have stocks there, literally. When we started the podcast, stocks from then. It's like, Steve, do you sell anything?
Pete still owns
Andalas.
No. Pete still owns Andalas, though.
I know.
But
that's because it's so low down. You kind of just think that one day it might come up a little bit more than it is at the moment because it's barely worth selling.
Listen now, right? To the classic traits, right, of why people lose on the stock market, right? And one of them is they're scared to just take a loss. First and foremost, the loss gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right? I always take a loss. I don't care. I just get out of it. I don't like something. I just get out of it. The loss. And I'll give you an example earlier. And another thing is they wait until the loss comes back to a break even, then they sell. So basically, they'll either take a bigger loss or break even. They never go for a profit. That's one of the biggest things. Like Megan with BT, she wants to sell as soon as it gets to a break even point. I said, what are you talking about? That's not how it works. That's not how business works. It doesn't work like that. You need to make a profit to make money. So it's that relief almost of getting your money back, you know? It's like, oh, I've ripped off there, now I've got my money back. It's that relief. You shouldn't, that's the wrong way of thinking about it. So,
in my defence, I sent you a screenshot of my shares probably about 2 weeks ago, and you picked up on new shares that you didn't pick up on 2 weeks ago. So I think you're just making it up.
It's a dynamic market, Steve. It moves, it changes.
This is my point. So if it was all right 3 weeks ago, you're making it sound like it was from years and years ago. So, you know,
I don't remember that. You sent me something. I thought, Steve, what are you doing? I said, I don't know.
I sold the ones that you pointed out. And
okay, yes. Well, do you know what? Generally, I think if you got milestones that are coming up, wait for that. I don't know why investing in AIM is so hard. AIM is quite hard. So I read a stat this year. I don't know if it's true. But there was a couple of variations on it. But it came from Bloomberg, this. And they said apparently 80% or 8 in 10 businesses fail in the first 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Now, AIM, that's what the market's for startups, essentially, who are, you know, they're pre-revenue stocks. Some of them are always pre-revenue. They never get anywhere. But they're hoping to become businesses, you know, but they need capital. And some of them are so risky, they can't get capital from banks, so they go to they float. There's supposed to be massive potential in it, and so they float there. And so, first and foremost, you have to pick out that 20% of the stocks that you think are going to succeed. You know, so there's that. That's some odds are against already, pretty much. But then, so that's why I did a video this week about patience and confirmation. Wait for confirmation that you know a stock is going the right way, rather than just jumping in and gambling. You know, trying to up your odds of success by waiting. And then, secondly, then when people they're on the AIM market, people go for like things like oil and gas, high impact drills. When I don't think people understand. I mean, if you're going for a high impact, you know, it's an oil and gas company that are drilling for the first time somewhere, you know, and the odds of success there are against your odds. It's stacked against you. Put it this way: the odds are in favor of you losing money. So yeah. Why even do that? I understand for a small, you know, punt maybe, but if you're going to go for oil and gas stocks, I advise you to go for companies that have a portfolio of different risk assets, you know, so something like United Oil and Gas or Upland or Predator Oil and Gas. They just happen to be shares I own as well. You know, they have a range of risks there. They have almost like, you know, over 50% chance of success. And then they've got some that are high impact, that are transformational, higher risks, but higher reward. But if you're just going for one company that has one drill this year and it's like high impact, the odds are stacked against you that you're going to make money. I mean, you know, you're going to lose money pretty much, except that. So don't go all in on stuff like that. It's ridiculous. But anyway, I saw a nice quote this week on someone's. I listened to, you know, BBC Sounds. Have you heard of that?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, they've got a new sort of app, and they're BBC Sounds about podcasts and stuff. And there's, it was advertised on BBC Five, like, called The Disruptors. And I was listening to this guy who created DeepMind, and he had some good talk on there. He created DeepMind, he's a British guy, and it was this DeepMind thing, it was about AI, and it's about a computer who could beat sort of humans at games and stuff. Using AI, and anyway, Google bought it for £400 million. You know, so nice. But I tweeted that out saying, "Worth." It's the first episode. Kamal Ahmed is one of the guys that is an entrepreneur as well, and someone who retweeted it said he liked my thing. I just looked at a Chinese guy, and I liked him, and he had a little quote on his Twitter thing bio saying, "Sometimes we win, sometimes we learn." I thought, that's very good, that. Because that is, I mean, that's the whole basis of my 10 lessons on the stock market, small cap stocks. It's like, you can tell people lessons as much as they want. I'm pig-headed, I'm stubborn. I generally don't learn that well unless I really want to, and I seek it out, or I have a lesson dealt to me myself. So there's people on Twitter all day saying, you know, slagging off other stocks, saying, don't pick this, don't pick that. And I think, do you know what? Just let people pick what they want to pick. And they'll learn, you know. But that's why my number one lesson is about risk. Don't get it wrong big first time, because you may not be able to play the game again. But so risk is very important. Never go big. And in fact, go small at the moment. I'm going really small. I'm about 35% in cash at the moment. And I'm happy. Any company that messes up or gives me an excuse to get into cash, I'll sell them and get into cash. For one, I'm wary of the market, and for two, I'm building up cash to pay off a mortgage. But I don't really, at the moment, I just feel more comfortable. And I did that with Toodly, you know, TLY this week. And I had a bit of criticism from people saying, "Oh, I don't know, you don't know," you know. But I looked at the reason why I did this when the results came out. I was, you know, it's hard, isn't it, to be unbiased, isn't it? It's hard to be objective. Don't you find that?
Yeah. No, yeah. But you get caught up in the story, don't you?
Yeah, and they are doing well. I mean, they are improving, but a big concern of mine, and I kept churning it over, was their current liabilities. Now, Steve, do you know what that means at all? Does it mean anything to you at all, current liabilities?
It's just similar to their assets, isn't it? It's
Yeah, it was pretty much the opposite, really, but similar. Mm.
Similar, opposite.
On a financial report, they have to produce three bits of information, right? A profit and loss account, a cash flow statement, and a financial position. Financial position is also a balance sheet. Now, if you look at the financial position, they have their non-current assets, non-current liabilities, current liabilities, and current assets, right? Now, what's the difference in that? Well, current is basically things that are within 12 months. So things that can be turned into cash within 12 months, liquid. Same with assets that can be paid off. So you get, for example, you will get trades in a payable in the current. That's going to be paid off within 12 months, all right? And so what you do is you, let's say you have... basically, you take away the assets from the current liabilities from the assets, current assets, and you see what they're left with. Are they in a current asset position or liability position? They have more liabilities than assets. Now, that's quite essential to me because even though they have 9 million in cash, that doesn't stand for anything because they have more to pay off. And even when they pay off, even if they receive everything from their receivables, so if they get paid everything from the NHS, which totally get all their money paid from the NHS, pretty much, and they pay off everyone they need to pay, they are still £4.6 million short, even if they use all the cash. So they've got a hole in their balance sheet in the current, and that could get better, but it's got worse since their final results. They were 1.9 million in the hole. They had 1.9 of, you know, net current liabilities end of the year, at March. Now it's gone up to 4.6 million. So it took me a couple of days to turn this over in my head. And in the end, I thought, I'm not comfortable with that. Let's say it deteriorates. Like I said, at the moment, I'm a bit wary of the market anyway. So any excuse I get out of a stock. Now, I do believe it's a good company that will turn around. But I want to see evidence of that. And that's what I mean about patience. I'm happy to wait now another 6 months until their interims and to see if that's improved. Because I want to see that liability coming down. Because if it comes down to something, that's all the company's worth, pretty much. And a similar analogy is this. If I'm in a restaurant, let's say you two, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got like 10 quid of cash in my pocket.
Bono and the Edge and stuff.
What's that? Yeah, you two, yeah, Bono and the Edge. And I'm in the restaurant, and Bono's there, and the Edge is there. And I'm showing off in front of the guys there, and I order lots of pizzas and stuff, you know. And the bill comes. Yeah. I said, don't worry, guys, I've got this. I've got 10 quid of cash in my pocket. 10 quid, no problem. And they go, oh, okay, that's grand. That's grand, because I got a
free. What's your Irish accent?
It's Irish. Yeah. That's grand. Yeah. It's good. I've got £8. And so they got £5 each, right? So the bill comes, right? And it's 40 quid. I got 10 quid. And you two and the Bono in the Edge got 5 quid each.
Yeah.
So we got 20 quid altogether. So we're down 20. So not by me showing off they got £10 cash in my pocket. I owe 40, you know? Mm. My trade receivables from Bono and the Edge is tenner. I've got a tenner. Mm. I've got to pay 40. So you see what I'm saying? I'm not flush. You know, I'm not rich and flush. Oh, yeah, loads of cash on me. So I owe it.
Yeah.
That's basically
my question would totally, and I haven't sold yet. For me, it's, I don't know, 2 or 3% of my portfolio, and I'm 20% down. But for me, it's kind of like if they win some decent contracts, or because they have had a couple this year, haven't they? They've won a couple. They're small, I grant you. But if they do win some more in the next 6 to 12 months, like you say, that could quite easily turn around. They could fill that hole, couldn't they? Or is that not? Am I looking at it too simplistically?
Say again.
They could. We could see a recovery there because if they get some contracts in that's going to pay them some hard cash, then obviously they're going that gap in there, their liabilities is going to be filled, hopefully, in time.
Listen, there's only one way of it changing, right? And that's that they, you know, their margins are good. They're making profit on the money coming in. So that becomes cash. So that cash level goes up.
So their business model is viable and is working and is profitable.
At the moment, they acquired Evocare, which is the big transformational. That's the big part of the business that's going to be turned over about 70 million. You know, I mean, towards the next year, the turnover of the revenue is going to be 18 million pretty much. But that was close to loss making, I think. So they've had to turn that around. So it doesn't matter. You know, they lost £500,000 pretty much in this half year, so it doesn't matter if they're making a loss on those contracts. It doesn't matter because that trade's payable will go up. trade receivable go down. So they've got to be profitable. They've got to increase their cash position. They've got to pay off some of their, you know, trade receivables, trade payables, and they've got to have more come in than go out. Right. So, I mean, until I see an improvement in that, I'm not convinced as yet.
Okay.
So, people say the 9 million market gap, they've got 9 million cash. No, they have. Well, they have got money. Yeah, but that's all spoken for. Mm. You know, you can't add, you can't say that, oh, that's, you know, and that was a lot less 6 months ago. And so that current liability was a lot less. And so to me, that story is deteriorating, and that's why I sold. So whenever I say, you know, only three reasons why you should sell, that's if you're overexposed, the story's changed, and you by accident. What was the third one? Something else. Or you can allocate your capital better elsewhere. To me, the story is changing for the worse a little bit, and I expect them to change for the better. I expect them to clean up that. And also, I emailed the finance director, and she was responsive first time. Then she got back to me after the results came out, and she said, oh, I can't really talk about that because, you know, we're a listed company. But I said, well, hang on, you responded last time. And you said, oh, that's not unusual for a business like us. So, slightly, you know,
but
at the
maybe
moment,
she's read the rules since then.
Yeah, I better read up on this.
Oh, so, she spoke to you the first time and then realised didn't want to speak to you the second time.
Yeah, this is not this guy again. So, you know, I'm looking for companies now that I just think I can, I'm happy
with.
So
going back to your point right at the start of the podcast, which is, this is relevant too, when you're, say for me, say I'm 20% down in stock, I totally agree, you know, you have to then go, oh, well, I was wrong and sell out. But then you've got to find a stock to recover that 20%. You've got to find a stock that's going to increase by 25% to recover that in that loss in your capital, don't you? So it's moving it. Look, where you're going, you're saying people will stay in it and try and get back to break even. Well, yes, they need to see a 25% increase to get back to break even.
Yeah.
Your point is take it out and find another, put it in a stock where finding that 25% is going to be easier.
Well, take it out, learn from it, because that's important. Yeah. Learn from what's happened. I was too into that, I got in too quickly. I could have waited until the results came out, and then I could have looked at it, you know? And I could have, listen, you don't have to find something else straight away. What I'm saying is, you're better off going into cash. If you think that stock market is going to drip down for the next 6 months, you're better off being in cash. You know, cash will not deteriorate like that, you know? So, in my mind, you may lose 20%
of that. That's one of the hardest things, isn't it? That is one of the, whether you've put in, whether you put 500 quid or 10 grand into a stock, whatever, if you're 20% down, you know, that's a chunk of that money that whatever it is you put in, that it's hard to see that, oh, I've lost that money. But it's a mindset that you've got to have to actually overcome that and go, well, okay, I accept I'm wrong.
Some investments aren't going to work. You know, they're not going to work. You can't pick everyone. Otherwise, you'd be billionaires. Now, it's finding the ones and realising, oh, hang on a sec, finding the ones that work and sort of try and stick that formula. But it's not a formula. And that's why I've done these lessons. I said to Paddy on the WhatsApp, I said, listen, I try and formulate this as much as possible. That's the kind of person I am. I like to try and formulate things and find a winning formula in some way. I've always done that. Even when I worked in the bookies, I try to find a way of, you know, placing bets, low risk, and all that stuff. And you can't, sometimes it's not about that. Sometimes it's gut feeling. Sometimes you know, and that's why you can't buy experience. You have to spend time in the markets doing it. You know, after a while, you get better and better and better. But in the meantime, don't overexpose, because that's the biggest mistake of all. You can never get better if you lose all your money, you know? So, sometimes don't worry about what you're losing. Worry about what you could lose. And just go into safe haven, which is cash, you know? Cash is safer in sometimes. And I'm not convinced at the moment. I do think we're heading for a recession. I was chatting to Russ Mould, and I asked him about indicators. I just genuinely think we will be heading towards recession. You know, but plenty of time to get out. Recessions don't happen overnight. But some of the biggest bounces.
And also, like we've said before, a lot of the mini, really small cap stocks, you know, how affected by a recession are they going to be?
Well, also, it comes down to valuation, right? Now, like I said, the biggest stocks get hit the worst, the ones that are overvalued. But if you are going to go into the balance sheet, if you look at a company, right, and you look at the balance sheet and think, well, I'll give you an example of this, right? I'm looking at Tuple, and I was on the podcast. I texted you about that, and I said on the podcast, I listened to the guy on the podcast. They did a very unfavourable raise, you know, very discounted a while back. People were screaming, shouting, because like almost 50% down. But they raised 2.2 million in September. Their current market cap is, let's look, it's 2.8. So they're in 2.2. So that's gross. So they've got just under 2 million, maybe, you know. They've just had a record October. They're a small little telecoms business, small and medium size. A record October. Andy came on the podcast just now on Friday and said November's stronger. And they said in October they'll generate 250 grand's worth of revenue, and that's over 24 months. And someone said on Twitter when they did that last week, said, well, that's not a lot. That's like 10 grand a month. I said, no, but if they do that every month, that's an addition to what they're doing. And it, November starts, so, I mean, you know, so 250 grand a month in revenue, and every one of their contracts now is are profitable. They've done an in-house sales team, which the margins are better. There's two parts of the business. There's a wholesale, where other mobile providers will use their branded product because their own software, which basically picks up the best carriers from BT to TalkTalk. And they got retail, which sells small businesses. And so they've done a record October. They've also... August and September were the strongest they've had. Record October, they did a 3.5 million deal a couple of months back with a wholesaler. And I just think that is going in the right direction. Now, like I said, they are valued at 2.86 million. They haven't got current liabilities. They are, you know, so if you value a company and it's basically sitting on the bare bones of its current assets, you know, then where can it go? Even if you break up the company, you know, you'll have more than... you'll have what you got, what you put in, basically. So it's sitting at pretty much, you know, it's assets. What is assets are worth? That's what it's worth in the moment. And they're not going to need a raise for it. They just said we don't need a raise now. This will take us through. I've heard this before, so I don't completely believe it. But Andy and the board are convinced that this raise will take them through to profitability, which is about in 12 to 18 months' time. They've raised enough money because they're not burning a lot now because their revenue is going up and their margins are going up, so they're letting it last there. And I think even if it doesn't, it'll last them over a year. So there'll be no going back to the market for a year. In a year's time, the business will be stronger. And I don't think it'll be sitting at sub 3 million. You know, just a basic valuation that. And I think, to me, that's a safer trade than, say, totally, you know?
Okay.
But I think you've got to go back to valuation and just look at the... I got a spreadsheet that does all this. And I hoped... Sometimes when you hope something, it doesn't work out. I just hoped totally would improve, and I didn't. It got worse. I ignored it. I ignored it for like 2 or 3 days. In the end, I'm back. And like, oh. Have you seen, seen My Square? It's gone through.
Has it?
Yes.
Remember that?
Have you heard about My Square, Steve?
Is that the one you lost loads of money on?
No, I made loads of money on that.
That was brilliant. No, not that one, Steve.
I wasn't Snooze Box, no. Sorry, I got mixed
up. Different Snooze Box is My Square, yeah. No, My Square, I five, six bagged on that. When it was at convertible loan notes, it was down at 2 million. And then
is that the Myanmar one?
Yeah, the Myanmar social network. There's always something odd about that.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And in fact, the guys behind that, I think, apparently had a previous. And there was like very interrelated. Again, do you know what? This plays into my cash model. Simplicity. There's a very odd, complex funding arrangement with the part owner and all that stuff. And there was like loans going between the two of them. And I thought, what's going on here? There's a lot of stuff I didn't understand. Commitment loan notes between. And it's a very complex funding arrangement, you know? Never straightforward. And I think when that happens, just step back. So if you don't understand it, don't try and work it out. You know, it's what's that thing? That's saying, you know, let's kiss, but keep it simple, stupid. But I mean, that always just, if you don't understand it, leave it alone. Yeah. There's other opportunities out there, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
There's a point.
So that's sad for everyone who was caught out by that and that's who's in that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like what Warren Buffett said, I don't know if all these, you know, they attribute these quotes to him, but he said, it's not, investing is not like Olympic diving, you know, you don't get points for difficulty. You don't get that. No. It's hard enough as it is. Just try and find a decent stock to invest in. Worth doing. So always be aware. It's always red flags. I mean, but people were shouting over Twitter a long time about that, and other people. Yeah. And that's sometimes you. I just think I had a bit of a flack for selling totally, and but sometimes you've got to be prepared to change your mind. Otherwise, you just become a delusional idiot, ignore everyone, and end up maybe in a stock that goes through. You know, everyone was telling you that. Why weren't you listening? You know, so I'm not saying totally is like that. I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying you've got to be prepared to change your mind. And I may be wrong, I may fly next week, but I was uncomfortable with that position, so I just got out of it. So, took that. I tell you what's funny. It's always telling about, you know, stocks. Buy stocks when they're quiet and no one's talking about them all the time, you know, or hating stocks, as long as the fundamentals are right. Because have you noticed, like, at the moment, Europa Metals, traders, you know, just have left it, and people have, not much news coming out at the moment, and it just started sinking down, you know? There's always opportunity to buy stocks, you know, when it's de-risked. I bet after the scoping study even, which is, a factor that'll de-risk the project immensely, there'll be opportunities after that to get in at a decent level. You know, it'll probably shoot up. And then, you know, after a while, there won't be news for a while, it'll come back down a little bit. So, you know, but there are these events that'll spike the story. The story that'll spike the price, and it'll come back a little bit. And that's the time you get in. So
just it's 9.5% up Friday afternoon.
Oh, there we are. See, So, I know, they have these things. That people think...
But Byzant has taken a hit, hasn't it, this week? Or
yeah, again, this is no news. And then people said, oh, they need funding. And then the rumours, a bit of funding, and it started slipping down. I saw people slagging off Colin. I thought, well, hang on, you didn't know there's funding going on. What are you talking about? There's people slagging off. And someone saying, oh, funding needed, maybe, question mark. I thought, well, why are you saying that? I don't know why you're saying that. And, because you don't know.
And then when they announce a placing next week, they'll be going, see, told you.
Yeah, totally. You said that 2 weeks ago, I know. So there we are. Do you know what? I thought this quote. I've thought of this idea, right? Because on Twitter, I think share is a good thing. Because, you all have a share of a company. You know, you share in a company. And that's a good thing. And that's why sharing information as well will work for everyone. But you've got selfish, you know, people on Twitter, who literally, I call them traders, essentially, people like Steve, you know. And I just think they're in it for themselves. And I think the difference, this is the difference, a dirty old trader, this is the difference between an investor and a trader. I think when an investor gives you a tip, they want you to join them in making money. When a trader gives you a tip, they want to offload their shares to you. That's what they want to do.
And that's
the difference. You know, they're ramping it. And I hate people ramping on Twitter. There's a couple of people who just want to carry on with rant. On Friday, I said, you know what? Fair play. There are people, right, day in, day out, ramps their stocks, regardless, you know, bull or bear market. And you've got to give them credit, just the sheer relentlessness of their ramping. Sometimes I just can't be bothered, you know, to even talk about any stocks on Twitter every now and again. But you see the same people just ramping their stocks every single day. And you realise after a while it becomes less effective. It's like medication, isn't it? You know, if you keep taking it after a while, it doesn't work so well.
It's like people become immune to it. Yeah, absolutely.
When you say wow and rocket every time, you think, mate, you said that 1,000 times this year so far, you know.
And it still hasn't taken off. Yeah.
Did you see I was quite impressed. You see, Paul Griffith from what's it called?
Predator.
He's a sharp guy. That he's also a bit of a good salesman. I said, you don't want too much of a salesman. You got to have knowledge as a geologist and a bit of a sale, because geologists are quite anoraki, a bit like IT people, you know. And they're sort of inward-looking guys, introverted. But you've got a bit of a salesman as well if you're CEO. You can be able to sell the stock, because I think. But he's very clever, and I didn't realise this. I mean, I know they got a CO2. They're going to do CO2 enhanced. I think they're getting close now, aren't they? They're really getting things done. But CO2 enhanced oil recovery in Trinidad. And I didn't realise that they're not only secured, you know, because there's lots of mature oil fields in Trinidad that could help with this sort of enhanced oil recovery, CO2, using CO2. But you can't get CO2. There's a couple of ammonia plants, but they already signed an exclusivity agreement with the ammonia plant on Trinidad. But they've secured the exclusivity for the entire Caribbean area. Yeah. I didn't realise that. That's very clever.
And there were 11 ammonia plants on Trinidad. I didn't realise that either. You go, wow, that's a lot.
So
the setup seems to be very good in my very amateur analysis of it. But
it's very clever though. Isn't it? Just to seal that deal, so no one else can get a foothold in that area, because they have to come to them first. They're the gatekeeper.
Yeah, they're the predator.
Yeah, have you seen UTW? I've been in that. It's my worst performing stock. I'm done about
utility-wise. No, I'm not. Yeah. Steve, are you in that still?
Yeah, funny enough, I was literally just looking at that and going, oh dear, that's like 80% down in my portfolio.
Well, I don't understand is this. Now, Jeff Thompson, right, was the guy who set it up and founded it, right? But and it was like the darling of AIM. If you look at the share price, it just went on there and people said, wow. And it went up to, where did it float at? I think it floated at 60 pence or something. Yeah. And then it went up to £2. No, was it less than £6?
I remember us sort of, buying it a couple of 2 or 3 years ago, and it was about £2, £2.20, I think.
Yeah. Well, listen, it, from 60 pence, it went in July 2013 or 2012. It went up to £3.20 or something. £3.60 went up to.
And it's now 9p.
Six times, yes. It's now 8.6 pence or something like that. Yeah, what is it? Yeah. But Jeff Thompson, right? I mean, this is how it works. So they go to businesses and say, you're a big business, we can save you money on your gas, electricity, all that stuff, everything, any energy you use, and we got deals with the big providers. And so then they say, okay, then. So they'd sign up. So they'd get, for 5 years, and they'd, estimate how much they're going to use and all that stuff, and also they'd go to the energy provider, estimate how much they use, and so they'd book that as revenue in the next 5 years, and then... Yeah. All of a sudden, there'd be a change in the energy policy of the companies, or they'd be overestimated in some way. And then, they'd have to, every year, they started having to pay it back the revenue, or we're not going to receive as much from that, and all that stuff, and the energy use isn't much. And so they're over-egging it and sort of being too optimistic on their forecasts. And so after a while, there's a board shake-up, and Jeff had to step back from CEO and became known as executive chairman. And then in the end, he was ousted pretty much. And they've got a new board in there now. But in the meantime, they've gone through a new accounting policy and really shaken up the book. But this is... Because these contracts are so long, it's affected the outlook for the group for like next 3-4 years. But, the cash flow isn't changed because cash doesn't come in. But it's just the estimates have been pulled back a little bit. Now, the estimate they're going to be sort of turnover about 54 million revenue for the year. And I've been looking at the net margins. Net margin is about 20-25%. About 25%. So you'd suggest on that, right? Let's say 20% because it's easier to do the math. So 10% of 54 million is 5.4 million. Double that, close to 11 million, isn't it? So let's say 10 million in profit. Now, that's their market cap. So that's in profit, right?
Yeah.
They have got debt of about 17 million, which is the problem now, because it's bigger than their market cap. But Jeff, right? There's very little volume going through the stock anyway, because people, those things are, a barge-pole stock. So Jeff owned 10% of the business up until 3 months ago. He sold 6% of that in 2 days, in the last 2 days. It literally, I don't know how they were selling it, because there's no volume going through. He just hammered out, and literally hammered it out, but it literally announced on the... at the start of the week, that he's out completely. So I just want to see...
That's not good.
Part of me thinks, and maybe I'm being deluded here, part of me thinks that this is going to rally like crazy from somewhere down here. Because I just think...
Why?
Because the revenue's there, the margins are there. Yes, they've got some debt, but now the seller's gone pretty much. It's going to be volatile because people are just scared about it. But I think as soon as they release their next set of results, which I think just after the end of the year... I think it'll go crazy. I mean, I did sort of de-scare and de-risk and sell out for a loss a while back. And I don't know how massive... Hold on,
comparing that to, totally.
Mm. This is a complete barge pole stock. But, I mean, this is... But their profitable margins. Their margins are good, 20-25%. I think totally a lot less than that. But
How come you haven't sold?
I would have sold, but part of me thinks it's going to... have a massive bounce. I don't know why, a massive bounce.
Which part of you?
My heart.
Do you think bounce to the point where you go back into profit, though? Because, you're probably similar to me, but maybe not, I don't know, but I'm 80% down. That's never going to bounce back to normal, is it?
Well, if you look at, if you even take 10%, right? 10% sort of margin on a 50 million and a P of 10, it should be valued at 50 million. It's now 6.75 million. So I think it's a potential. They've done a lot of clearing up. Fair play. The guy has come back in, Brendan. He's from Sage. He's a well-respected guy. If he sorts it out, which I'm hoping he will, it'll be a while to come to wash through the balance sheet. But if you look at their statements, they do intend, their forward statements, where's that one? The last statement they did was very bearish, but they've just partnered with Dell and Vodafone. Let's look. What is it? It's something about strategy update. And they've got some, they look to increase in the share of the SME market from 2 to 7%, increasing SME customer numbers from 30,000 to 130,000 by 2021. They're on a 5% share of the UK and Ireland corporate controls market. So they've got the ambition there. At the moment,
are they going to pay back the debt, though?
What do you mean? They knocked off about 2 million in debt in 6 months, right? So they can pay that off within a couple of years, 3 years, easy.
So are you factoring that into your profit and your earnings data before you do your PE?
Yeah. What you do is add a debt to the market cap. Let's say you add a debt to the market cap, you know? Okay. So you say, well, they valued it now. Let's have a look.
7 million.
7 million, yeah, plus 17, 24 million. Yeah, they're still undervalued, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thanks.
So there we are.
Let's hope for you boys that it turns around.
Part of me holding
it. Did you not buy in, Pete, at all, or...?
No. Two or three years ago, and I think you made a profit and sold out.
Yeah, we did. We bought into it and sold out. Yeah, one of the first early ones. But I either think it's going to be one of the best recovery plays in 2019, or we're going to lose our money. So, to be honest, it's so far done now.
As we're coming to the end of the year, we should do our favourite stocks and our most hated stocks of the year awards. Yeah.
Well, so far, Predator.
Absolutely is the stock of the year, isn't it, so far?
Yeah. It's gone from like 2 pence almost to 10 pence. That's quite nice.
Yeah.
But
that's quite nice. Yeah.
You never know, though. You never know. You know.
I know, exactly.
Yeah.
I thought that this week, actually, because I've done a bit of trading with Predator, which is rare, because obviously I'm not a dirty trader, but de-risked it sort of 8p, got back in at 6p, and then it started to drift back down. I was like, oh dear, I shouldn't trade. But now it's kind of recovered and up, and now I'm, oh yes, what a great trade that was. But anyway, but yes, it's funny how your mind changes and the psychology of it all, and it's all a bit mental, isn't it? But there we are. At the moment, yes, it's good, but we shall see.
Yes. Steve, any thoughts on the week, Steve?
No, I haven't really. Looked at the stock market this week at all. Apart from obviously sending you my sheets and you having an argument about me not selling stuff.
When you say look at the stock market, do you mean like pictures of it?
Yes, like on Google Images. I did sell off a lot of the stuff you did suggest, actually. So I have got into cash quite a bit.
Nice. Well, listen, you can't go wrong with a bit of cash, you know. I want to get. I've got how much cash? I've got quite a bit of cash at the moment, and literally, I want to keep in cash. And unless I got, also what I think is like, I've looked at it and looked at it again. I just think I want to take my time more. Like in a company. Did I tell you about Bidstack?
Yes.
I like Bidstack. I like it. But do you know what Bidstack is, Steve?
No, remind me. I remember you telling us the other week what it was.
Yeah. So it's a gaming company. All right, it's not a gaming company. They create software that's in-house native advertising. So So for online games like Football Manager, I've never heard of this. It's online stuff, you know. So it's quite popular. Apparently, about 50,000 people a day play it. But they can create, dynamic real-time adverts on the billboards or on the football pitch, like you see in real football. They create those. And they're hooked up with media buyers and all that stuff, and they can upload a media campaign within seconds, you know. So it's very clever. They haven't got any competition really, and like they said, they're hooked up with Football Manager. They are in talks with other big gaming companies, but I think at the moment, I literally put my toe in it, my little toe in there, and I want to go in more. But part of me is saying they're at 14 million now, the market guy. They've had they've released no information, no news whatsoever, apart from Anne Gorlag. Anne Gorlag, she's one of the heiresses from the Stagecoach. She's a billionaire, apparently. But she's taking 3%. I don't know why. I don't know if she's a big gamer. She's taking 3%. And that's only news out there. And I think, what's going on here? What is the news? So I want some news. I want some, I'm happy for it to go higher. As long as the news is good, now let it come back and buy a down day. But at the moment, I don't know. Is it for to me? What I don't want is to come out with after 6 months, because they are. You can see on the Twitter feed and the YouTube channel, they've got some adverts running there. What I don't want is to come out in six. Me go in, big style, and then they come out in a couple of months and say, look, we've made 12 grand. The what? our revenue is 12 grand for the year. Are you kidding? Yeah. And then, really pull the rug from under everyone. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know. I don't know what the inside track is. But I'm at the moment, I want to play a disciplined game. I'm happy for it to go higher, and I'm happy to buy higher if they give some more transparency and if they de-risk it. Because at the moment, I feel I'm just, it's like going walking through a house in the dark, isn't it? You know, and trying to find your bedroom or something, or in a stranger's house. It's like trying to find.
Yes.
It's like being in a stranger's house, you know. So stay at my house. You can stay at my house with my parents if you want. Then you know, find you get into bed next to the mother. Oh, sorry. You don't want that. You want to get in bed next to the you know, the sort of 25-year-old sister who's you know, just feeling a bit single and feeling quite horny. So you know.
Of all your analogies, I think that's the weirdest one to date. Okay,
but I do like it, and I've been looking around. I even read the prospectus. I even read the prospectus. Do you know what prospectus is, Steve? Sorry, Steve. Sorry. Steve is actually thinking of going to bed then when I mentioned bed. Oh, that sounds nice, bed.
25
year old. Simple mind, Steve. Very simple mind, Steve. You mentioned bed. I'm tired now. Bed. Do you mention bed? Certain words stick out to Steve. Bed.
Yeah.
It's like home. It is like home. It's like dealing with Homer Simpson. Do you mention donuts? It's all mentioned donuts.
I'm dog tired. Steve, come back with
us. Right. It's all bed then, I think.
You've got me yawning even more now.
Yeah. I started watching Luther.
Right.
I'm thinking of doing the Ice Bucket Challenge soon as well.
Right. Okay.
I just think I'd do that for a laugh. Like, right. hashtag it with Throwback Thursday and say, right, here I go, guys, Ice Bucket Challenge.
Remember the Ice Bucket Challenge? Right, yeah.
I just thought, you know, just give money to charity, people. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that and nominate people. Just give money to charity, you know. I felt a bit annoyed today on Twitter. I just really got my nerves. It's boring. The market's boring. Everything's boring. And someone said something, and I said, someone said to me, "Oh, you'd be fun at parties." I said, "No, I hate parties, and I hate people trying to be fun at parties. Knobs." Yeah. And I thought, I do. Let's have some fun, everyone. Hooray! Nothing worse than organised fun.
That used to be you, like in your earlier days, didn't it?
Yeah. I used to like wild in parties and stuff, but no, not.
Yeah.
Anyway, is there anything else we want to chat about? What any other companies looking at? Infrastrata, worth a look. I quite like that. They're a gas storage company. I own the shares in there, 6.2 million. They just announced an offtake agreement with a gas trader, so they're going to be building these gas storage facilities in Ireland. Worth a look, because they came up yesterday, 16%, and they came back today on Friday. But like I said, you know, another milestone de-risked. They've got a major blue-chip client who's going to do an off-take agreement. There's still, of course, a lot to do there. They've still got to build the storage caverns. But the board seemed to be turning this around. This was a project that nearly didn't see the light of day a couple of years ago because the board was just spinning. What's the word? What's up there? Oh, it's, you know, they weren't doing anything. Just taking wages, had no skin in the game. Annoyed me. And then they were ousted, which is good. By Peter Will and Adrian, and then the board has changed again since, and they are actually getting something done. C4XD is annoying, it's not good, it's just dripping down. Jangada, just mentioned Jangada. Yeah, I'll just say Jangada, right? Big milestone coming up. I've been looking at my spreadsheets. I do look at all the trades going through, and I basically categorise them every day, I just add to them, and there's been now pretty much more sells that have gone through than placing shares that were placed. So the sellers could be out. It hasn't been dropping too much. It did go up on, I think, Thursday's flat on Friday. But, you know, they are a 5.5 million market cap. They are NPV of 192 million. That's PGM. That's platinum gold, platinum group metals, plus gold. And they're going to have a maiden joke resource coming out on their copper and nickel. Now, that's on top. It's an addition. It's an addition to the, you know, close to 200 million NPV. And they've got cash to go to the BFS. And I think, at the moment, you know, this is where sentiment is very low. It soon won't, though. Every now and again, you know.
I've got a bunch of stocks in my portfolio where I think, or I hope, that it's just a case of being patient and waiting and not doing anything, sitting on my hands, because that's one of them. You know, another one, Feedback, Cora Gold, C4XD, United Oil and Gas.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a case of like, well, we are where we are, and some are slightly up, some are quite a bit down, but I hope it's a case of patience, but let's see.
I do think we'll have a cracking rally to year end. After a correction like that, in midterms, apparently we do. We do have that midterm election that happens, and yeah, what do you think about Donald Trump there? And that, did you see that?
Well, the video they doctored as well. Yeah,
yeah. He just pushed
it
away.
It's weird, isn't it? When you see it the second time round, yeah, it's actually doctored. They wouldn't have doctored it. Sure,
yeah, they did.
It's the way they slowed it down, isn't it?
There's a guy on Twitter, and he said, "Listen, I've been editing video for 30 years of my life," and he showed the speed and how slow.
He overlaid it,
and said, "This is what it was like. And this is what it is like." So he speeded up. So this was doctored, and there we are. So
to make it look worse, that the guy was kind of almost hitting the intern. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, it was another classic Trump, wasn't it? You're a horrible person. You're terrible. You smell. You know, or whatever.
I retweeted something from someone. Someone tried to show Obama up in the same light. You know,
and, I saw that. Yes, but he's far more.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, you know, he wasn't the same as what Trump. I said, thing with Obama. What did I say? I scroll down. I said something that's quite profound, actually.
No,
that wasn't profound.
Sure.
But it was.
I think with Trump, it's just that he's kind of. His language skills or his intelligence is limited. He's not far above. Say, you're a poo poo. You're a poo poo face.
You're fake news. Someone did try to do a similar thing of smear Obama. I said, I think it's just because Obama is polite, charming, and possesses humility, you know, very likable qualities. Trump is brash, rude, and blunt, not very attractive traits. So whatever Trump achieves, he will always be attacked because it's not what he does, it's the way he does it. Discuss. And I think he does do things. He's very blows his own trumpet. He's got an inferiority complex, I think. You know, he has to really boast about things. Where I think he said, you know, it can be argued the economy has achieved a lot more than when Obama was there. But it's that thing. It's a funny way up, isn't it? Do you prefer someone who's likable and nice and polite and charming? Who, you know, okay, he's a high achiever. He's got the presidency, but you know, didn't actually seem to do that much. Or do you prefer someone who achieves, you know, quite a bit, but is nasty, horrible person? I don't know, it's odd, isn't it? It's like, it's a thing. I mean, you know, I like Obama. I think he's a nice guy. He just comes across nice. I mean, I don't know, it's hard to say. I heard, oddly, on Radio 5 Live this week, I heard two people, one for Trump, one against him. And the one was arguing directly against the other one. So one, he'd done well with the economy. No, he hasn't. And they give examples. And the one said, they give examples. So literally, you can argue anything at the end of the day. It's just your opinion, isn't it? You know? So I don't know if Obama's done well for the stock market, but they said yes, but there's more people now poor and all this stuff, and there's without healthcare and all this. So they're giving examples of, the rich are getting richer, yes. But the poor aren't. They're getting worse. So there we are.
I think in about 10-15 years time we'll look back, and obviously it's a horrendous time with Trump being president, but I think we'll look back and I think it would have changed politics as it was, you know. I think even in the midterms, because they're saying that like so many more people are now going to work in politics because they don't want Trump in it, and I think it will change politics in the long run. I think,
well, this is a Marmite thing, isn't he? You know, you like him or hate him, and people are good to get him out or go to keep him in, and that's it. And so,
I think what they really mean is a jar of Marmite might be better.
I don't know. I'm sure the BBC or someone doctored that he was. I don't know where he was. At a stand-up rally somewhere, and I'm sure they doctored the colour of him because he looked like an Oompa Loompa. I said, look at the colour on him. I said, Vegas, look at the colour on Trump. He was literally, you couldn't get more orange. And literally, white patches on his eyes. He was like an orange panda bear. And
I find that about BBC in general, like oversaturating their images. Okay. So it's probably
we're coming to technicalities now. Colour correction, Steve, yes.
Steve would have so there's a colour correction thing, right?
No, okay. I think they just do it for a laugh. It's like you sometimes see when they, you know, you see press taking a really, they take, you know, 25 shutters a second on a camera or something, and they'll go through them looking for the worst one. When you're on a downstep and your jowls are coming down, you look fat chinned, they'll pick the worst picture possible of a politician. They'll pick that one, that's the worst one, and they'll laugh their heads off in the newsroom, put that up there. And I think they did that with Trump. They said, really tilt the saturation, really make him orange. And I think they're there for a laugh. They said, look at the colour of that guy. I think that's the kind of thing people would do to Trump, because I think in the media especially hate him so much that, you know, because he's slagging off the media. I think they hate him so much that I think they do that just for a laugh. You know, put a belly on him, give him a lazy eye. Right, anyway. Anything else, lads, worth chatting about?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Okay, have we got any more stuff? Yeah, that's it. Sometimes we win, sometimes we learn. And that, do you know what? Life is a constant learn. That's all you got to learn. Fantastic. It's constant
learning. Fantastic.
Apart from Trump. Okay. No, in fact, I'm very strong, actually. I'm very clever. I'm quite a stable genius, and that's what I am.
Stable genius.
So, stable genius, don't say that. They don't say that. It's like, it's amazing. Recently on LinkedIn, everyone on LinkedIn is an expert who wants to teach you how to become an expert. I don't think, do you know what? I don't believe any experts exist on LinkedIn who are giving advice to strangers. Experts just crack on with their work, discovering, pioneering new things. They don't hang around on LinkedIn posting stuff saying, hey, I can help you become an expert. It's like, get lost, you fool. Can I become a connection? I'm an expert. And anyway. Have a nice time. I got people connecting me all the time on LinkedIn. All of a sudden I get spam emails. That seems to be all it's about. I connect with you, get a spam email. That's all it's about, isn't it, really?
Pretty much.
What a system that is. An expert. Anyway. All right, then.
Okay. Good.
I may start just making up stuff on LinkedIn and saying I'm an expert and stuff. Do you want to earn £1 million in a day? Anyway, become an antique expert. All right, then. Have a nice weekend. Any plans, Steve? Any girls coming over?
No girls, no. We're in rugby season, the autumn internationals, so it's a little bit of work tomorrow.
So men coming over, is it? Okay. Mm. Oh, yeah, who's playing them?
You got rugby players coming over.
Yeah, we're rugby players, yes. The Australia team are coming.
Lovely.
To your house?
Yeah, they're coming to Cardiff.
Bit of rough and tumble, get your tackle out.
Right. Have a bit of a scrum.
Yeah, a bit of a scrum with the odd balls, odd shaped balls. Right, that's it then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.